chapter 18, from verse 15. So, yeah. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over, so may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth agree about anything you may ask for, it will be done for you. There I am with you, with them. Then Peter came to Jesus. Times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but he wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began, brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. Him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me. Be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told him. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all the fellow servant just as I had on you. In anger, his master turned. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother.
Good morning, everyone. Really good to see you. Coming before such a challenging passage and a challenging answer time just after the service, so you may like to jot thoughts down, jot questions down, and now as we come before his word. Father, would you take away all distractions and speak to our hearts and remind us again of the goodness of the gospel. Amen. You go. So part of these verses have left an imprint on our minds. We might forget a part of this when your brother or sister sins against you. Do you sense that? Once Christians are forgiven people, we meet has washed us clean. And so whatever our... But will we be forgiving? Jesus teaches his disciples how the... But I think we'll see together what Jesus has to say teaches more. It has much to say about us. Now, before we get into the kind of nitty-gritty details, there's two things I must draw to your attention. Would you just mind my V, and you're looking at verse 15 there, you'll see a small letter of some description after against you. Do you see that? Verse 15, if your brother or sister sins against you. Little footnote... So some manuscripts would read, if your brother, the implications are quite big. Is it if your brother or, when you see your brother or sister sin, then you take responsibility? You is supposed to be there. Look, if we come across to, we see Jesus say, if your brother or sister sins, rebuke them. And if it isn't, even if it is to go and show responsibility for their Christian brothers and sisters, even if. We could actually ask ourselves some hard questions here if we thought, well, actually, I'm only going to talk if someone sinned against another brother or sister. Well, why would we be silent? This doesn't involve me, fails to see and treat the other Christian, this person, not simply as another Christian, but as you and I possess a measure of responsibility to override what we find comfortable to do. Our involvement is not merely gender and think that is my brother or sister and I must warn them. Do you see? And I think the reason why these verses leave an imprint on our mind is that we're just so individualist. Other people who aren't in my family, it's kind of foreign to us to do. We are involved when the offender is my brother. Sinned personally against me. If the sinner is a brother or sister, we might wonder from time to time, well, what that person did, either against me or line, to which I need to now go and show them their fault. We can answer it pretty quickly. We might just want to ask ourselves when we're umming and ahhing that one. Again, to me, would we want this to happen to another Christian brother or sister? And go and speak. In instance, it affects the offended person or the witness to initiate. I'm going to wait till they come and apologise to me. But Jesus has died, and they go and they take responsibility and they go to convict or realisation that a wrong has happened. And we do this in private. Corporate responsibility. So in Leviticus we read, do not hate a fellow Israelite, share in their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone background for Jesus' teaching. And I just want to make a couple of quick points because Leviticus has much wisdom here. Your neighbour rebukingly. It's a word against this constant sugar. This doesn't have to be a massive song and dance, but let's be careful not to always. Is that we are naive to think we can just let this go. Let's just let it go. Is far too optimistic about the goodness of a Christian. Chances are it's not good for our hearts to ignore the issue. And even seeking revenge. Another is so that you will not share in their guilt. Say, now, on just a realistic note, I think we're all thinking something along the lines of, we'll never speak again. We haven't spoken properly since the issue happened. Speak again, but chances are our relationship's falling apart as we speak. Strain and offence places distance between people, and then churches end up. So not bringing it up out of fear that it will affect the relationship, well, it's too late for that. What we need to do this morning is keep our eyes on the awkwardness and the messiness and see the goal to which Jesus spoke in verse 15. Or sister, but the idea is gaining your brother or sister. Gain a brother or sister. The sense there is that there's a potential loss, navigated it successfully. In this case, there's a possibility and restoration has occurred, and that's always worth the effort. Of something taught in Scripture, or ignorant that they hurt you, they didn't know, and they're sorry, and they listen. They heed your words. In fact, the action Jesus is looking for. You repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day and seven. Luke's gospel describes this listening, your brother or sister. In fact, in Luke, Jesus places a great deal of emphasis on repentance. And I think is that we think it's enough to be willing to forgive. So I've forgiven them in my heart. But being willing to forgive is not the same as achieving forgiveness. It's something that happens between people. As grievances are aired dealing with us, does God forgive unrepentant people? No. No. God is willing to forgive. God asks for faith and repentance. Reconciliation. The goal is always, listen. So moving on from in verse 16. But if they will not listen, it may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Hear the challenge. I don't want others involved. I've said what I needed to say. Got bygones, forgive and forget. Accept. That isn't peace. Off your chest. What's the goal? That your brother... This quotes Deuteronomy for why others should be involved. The backdrop is helpful here. You go back into... But they do so in the full knowledge of the human heart. One witness is not enough. They use the processes to take revenge or advantage of someone. So the addition of witnesses, bringing along other witnesses, looks like bringing in the heavy artillery. These witnesses add another set of ears. Both parties hear one another. Should the witness or the witness and the other witnesses... Well, then the church is to be told. Tell the church, and the church together with a unified voice is to speak to the... Second half of verse 17. If this person refuses to listen to the church, tax collector. Now, in other parts of the New Testament, the picture's... we read in 2 Thessalonians 3 that Paul calls the church not... In 1 Corinthians 5, you might remember the case of the man who's sleeping with his father... But I can anticipate someone's complaint here, but can we ever really show someone the door? when that love needs to be shown preferentially for some, it's unrepentant in hurting or offending or sinning against another. Love, grace and forgiveness are not to be at the expense of justice. And in that passage about church discipline, a little yeast can work through the whole thing. About corporate responsibility, that responsibility to talk one another and as a church speak is actually the next few verses in Matthew. This prayer, and it involves prayer, but that doesn't quite. He says that in verses 19 and 20 after just having called unable to be reconciled. Do you see that? Two or three witnesses, verse 20. This passage, 18 to 20, always with the goal of reconciliation, but with the realistic expectation of the church in this difficult process of excluding someone from fellowship on earth will be loosed in heaven. Binding and loosing were technical terms. Initiative in coming before the person who has sinned and is unrepentant, sought to instruct a wayward brother from his path of sin, that heaven is in. This is why you bring it to the church in the first place. Yeah, it could. But an abuse of a privilege, and it's just, you could do that infinitely for every position of leadership and authority, it could, the weight of responsibility says to the person, please do not do this. Persecuting me. When he was persecuting his church. And knees comes before him and says, turn. It would be like a spit in Jesus' in the Catholic Church. It could be said that Protestants have gone way too far on a power and we just sort of fill the gap with individualism. Jesus here speaks of the church having power and authority, not a power of seeking the face of Christ. As we teach and admonish, church is what God has, and our conception of the church is so small. That what you are doing, you should stop doing. It is sin. Why we would do this, the reasons for why we would look to, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? This leads to a parable about forgiveness. Forgiving a brother is the note on which the parable begins. We, as the forgiven people of God, are to forgive. Who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I'll pay enormous debts. People who borrow and borrow and borrow and spend, we have no compassion. The servant's master took pity on him. Cancels debts. The king cancels the debt who owed him a mere 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began repeating the words, pay back. You owe. Same words. He refused, verse 30. Outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then anger. His master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay. How many times do I have to do this costly forgiveness before I can? How many times do you keep forgiving? Until forgiveness is something that you just stop counting. Weren't you forgiven more than you could ever have repaid? Forgiveness and reconciliation becoming more and more and more beautiful to you. This is, of course, not our first nature to others. Jesus teaches us how the forgiven and just processes to follow under certain circumstances. It has much to say. We are the forgiven. Church that Christ is building. Together we have a response. I've said what I need to say. And in those moments we reveal how of Christ, Christ continues to rule his church. If you were to keep a record of our sin, who would stand? That we owe less. Would you please give us an inch more and more?